Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Guy.
Hello, Gary. Well, wow. Well, well.
Finally, back by popular demand.
By absolute popular demand. It's, you know, the godfather, the paterfamilias, the Don.
Oh, yes. That's enough of me. What about Coverdale? No, I mean, when we toured, we'll tell this to him, obviously, to make his head even bigger if he needs it, that when we toured Europe and America, the one episode everyone wanted to talk about was the Coverdale.
We're going to say this. There's nothing I've got to say to you that I don't want to say to him.
Yeah. So ever, you know, I think it's time. Do you know that was over 2 years ago we spoke to him.
I know. So, and clearly stuff has happened.
It has happened to all of us, I think, you know. And I think we just want to catch up with David.
We do.
Coverdale in his mansion by Lake Tahoe. Could you get him on the line now, please?
Operator, can we have Tahoe 417, please?
Let's get him on.
Welcome to the Rock On Tours.
Okay, guys, I'm ready.
That's a big tune for sure. I actually wrote that originally for Tina Turner.
Of course, I had gone and found Joni Mitchell down in Florida and brought her back.
I've listened to a few of them and they've been really good, man. I'm sitting in the back of the car coming into London. They're brilliant.
Thank you guys for still being around, still making music, still being into it and doing this podcast. It's fabulous.
Well, I get the feeling that us three should go for a pint. That's what I think.
I'm in a band now. It's called Roxy Music.
You know this thing about the 10,000 hours of experience.
Oh, yeah, to
get good at something. When we recorded Arnold Lane, we'd done about 50 hours.
The Rock On Tours podcast with Gary Kemp and Guy Pratt.
Keep on rocking!
Hello there.
Hey! Gino!
Yes, darling.
Yes!
Gary, darling, you look even more devastating than I saw the last time. You know what it is? It's fucking projection, mate. It's fucking projection. That's what it is. Oh, that's a bit better. I can see them easier. I'm crunched over like fucking Quasimodo. That rings a bell. Darling, can you see me? It's the fucking grey snakes. Do you know, Guido, I was flashing on, I was flashing on, next year will be 30 years since you and I shared the stage in Japan with Jimmy.
Oh, my God.
Next fucking year. Not to make us sound any older.
What do you want? Because you're on this weird portrait setting.
Do I look like the fucking Pope from there?
You look wonderful. We can continue. We can.
We can continue. But
David, you were talking about Guy and Jimmy on the same stage 30 years ago. Guy and I saw Jimmy. We had a drink with him at Christmas, didn't we?
We did.
Jimmy was in good form. He was in good form.
Well, it's so interesting. We struggled, of course, through COVID. I was able to, my studio's 7 minutes door to door from my home. My producer at the time, co-producer, was a cancer survivor. So we just had the most intense lockdown, but were able to do a bunch of projects. But Jimmy was unable to go to studios because we wanted to remix the Coverdale Page record for the 30th anniversary this year. And we just ran out of time. It's heartbreaking, actually. Look, broken. Lord of Pink.
But it's a shame there wasn't a live recording. There wasn't any proper live recording.
Well, we have a bunch of acid. No, there wasn't. The circumstance is the bootlegs can be so easily finessed now with upscaling video. And also you can do the same with audio.
That's true.
Hardcore fans just want to see it, you know. So that's the scenario. We just literally run out of time. That's the heartbreaking thing. How's the saucer full of secrets? How's Nick?
Nick is great. I mean, we had an incredibly fierce year last year. In Europe, we did 60 shows in 90 days in 29 countries.
God, you're not that young, are you? Nuts. Jesus Christ.
And then we went to America and Canada. We I think 90 shows altogether.
Oh, my God. If I find out you were near me, I will be most upset because it's all of that early stuff is my favorite Floyd's. I saw them opening for Hendrix at Newcastle City Hall, the original with Sid. It was just, and a huge, you know, sheet behind them, as opposed to all the amazing projection screens and things now. But still, it was like nothing we'd ever seen before. It was amazing.
Yeah, and then followed by Hendrix. What was that? Was that the first time you'd seen Hendrix?
Yeah, I was 15. I almost had the shit kicked out of me. I'd bought a poster of Hendrix, and I was so taken by the show. I'm playing drums on this guy's head in front of me. Look, mate, if you don't stop, I'll fucking, you know. It was unbelievable. Literally, he looked like he was 20 feet tall. Unforgettable experience. And he's still my muse, you know.
Yeah.
Well, we played Newcastle City. We played there, didn't we, last year, guy? Newcastle City
Hall. We did
play
Newcastle City Hall, yeah.
I thought they'd stopped. I thought it had finished. I signed a petition to keep it going, but you there's some history on those boards.
Well, obviously,
gentlemen.
Your signature changed their minds.
Of course, David. But also, David, because listen, we've gone straight and we haven't had an intro. We need to say that.
My name is David Coverdale, alias Raymond Dovetail from Deep Purple Days. I'm in the pink, as you can see. It's my rap outfit. I took my son last year. I've got these pink lubies on as well, which is cutting a dash here. Jeans that are cutting into my midsection, as only an aging rock star should have. But I'd taken Jasper for his birthday to a restaurant in Malibu called Joffrey's. A packed jam, Kardashians, and then I had no idea. Suddenly I hear, yo, pink hoodie! And I'm like, jeez, oh my God, I have a pink hoodie. So I turn around, and there's a famous rapper starts chatting away with me. I can't understand a word. And Jasper's translating. He's like really blown away because apparently he's a famous rapper. I told him I was Run DC. I don't think that's fluent.
Who was he though? Do you not remember his name?
I can't remember. No, but his when I said Run DC, his partner, beautiful girl, just spit her martini all over him. So I had a kind of revenge. But it's funny. It's pink, but it's made by a company called Purple. So it's rather appropriate. 50th
David,
anniversary.
One second.
Yes,
of course.
One
second, because Guy wants to tell you something.
Okay.
I just want to tell you that this is...
Yes, dear.
That this is the most requested thing ever for this show, right? If you ask our audience what is the first thing that comes to mind when you think of rock on tours, 80% of them at least are going to say you.
Oh,
and that's a big tune for sure, is our Creed occur. You are our godfather.
I need a tissue.
You are our paterfamilias, David. Let me tell you something. David Arnold, the great film composer.
Oh, I love David Arnold.
Five Bond films, who we had on the show. He tweeted that our episode with you should be put in a museum and preserved for future generations.
I agree. Yeah. But Tom said to me, my co-producer Tom said...
Mate. Welcome back, mate.
Thank you so very much. And we're on... We're on visual, and I'm looking like some kind of little puppet here. Somebody's got his hand up my ass going, you know. Hopefully, Tom Payton, can you just check they're getting some of me here? Because all I can see on here is just like a passport.
That's actually what we can see as
so
well.
I said to Tom, oh, yeah, love, you remember Guido? You remember Tom, Too Tall Tom, from the Restless Heart sessions we did, Guy? I said, yeah, a guy told me that I'm like number one on the raconteurs. And he went, not anymore. I went, oh, what? Like 24 hours before doing this, I suddenly realized I'm being dumped. And he said, oh, because they're doing video now. So,
not always true. And you are one of the most popular episodes.
That's
200
absolutely
episodes,
adorable to hear. Thank you so much.
And also, David, because you were one of the first. You've got to remember, we were an unknown quantity when we started. And you were one of the dear friends. Who came, you know, who agreed to talk to us. And we are forever in your debt.
Oh, pleasure.
For that.
Well, it's huge now, isn't it? Not your genitals, but the show is huge.
It's a big podcast for sure.
Ah, saucer full of secrets, I know. Saucy and full of secrets, Guy Pratt, Esquire.
We've got to talk about the hair.
Oh, yeah.
It looks wonderful. And
thank
it's
you.
Short. And what I want to know is, what did you do with all the stuff that fell on the floor? All
eBay.
That hair.
eBay.
I mean, it should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
No. It's so interesting. I had. I've been asking Cindy, who you remember, Guy, my beloved partner.
Please send her my love.
Please tell. Of course, she's actually in Bali on a meditation retreat. Not Barnsley. I'm sure they have fabulous temples, but she's a come on here to Barnsley, meditation center of the world. You know, fifth chakra. I just saw a thing on David Bowie talking about when he put the Spiders of Mars together, and they're all a Yorkshire band, you know.
That's right.
And
from,
he said,
the spiders
and they're
from
all
Hull.
Going all excited. Spiders from Hull. And he said, and this is what you're going to wear. And they went, whoa, I'm not fucking wearing that. Oh. And then the first show was like chicks all over them, and they were going, where's the mascara? Where's the blush? They were committed immediately. You know, funny story. But yeah, last year I had to cancel my farewell tour, which is, of course, double heartbreaking. I got very, very ill. I mean, as a singer, Gary, you know this, sinus infections and stuff are just run-of-the-mill. This was deep. This was evil. So I was on 6 months last year. I finally got cleared of this. It was all in my larynx in January. And apparently, after all 7 months or whatever, there was still a trace of it yet, which nasal sprays were supposed to do. But all of the incredibly heavy antibiotics I had to take throughout most of last year, coupled with prednisone, which is just a horrible steroid scenario, and my hair just got fried, you know? So it escalated. I fully intend to hashtag embrace the gray. Silver snake, grey snake. You know, I have to change all the posters.
White snake. What are you talking about?
Grey snake, mate. Grey snake. Mate, very white snake. Actually, I'm starting to see some blonde come in. It's driving me. Oh my God, are we talking hair with David Coverdale and the raconteurs? Yes.
But David, you had that sinus problem quite a few years ago, didn't you? When you had to have an operation.
Entirely different. Yeah, that was really bad. When these things get on your cords, that's just closes you down entirely. You know, I'd spend a fortune keeping the guys as safe as we could. We called it the COVID bubble, private jet wherever we went, you know, and still that COVID just came in and took some of the crew out. You know, it was really, really challenging.
So what are you going to come back? Are you going to be able to
get
back on stage again?
I'm working now on a torn rotator cuff. So literally this year, I gave my fantastic band the year off because I didn't know what was going to go on. I couldn't make any particular commitments till I had a clear, you know, nowadays it's 6 months you have to set up a tour. So I've got recording to do. We've got projects for the next 3 to 5 years. You know, I'm hoping to get the band in when they're free. There's talk. I'm being approached a great deal with Vegas residencies, of course. I'd love to get to Japan and South America. Really, it's going to depend on health and people's availability.
So you're not finished. You are not finished.
Well, certainly not with music. You know, I mean, I love the farewell tour. Are you kidding? Playing home half the time. You know the song you like, Gary, the Is This Love song that we talked about the last time?
Yeah.
Inevitably, I'd start bawling, and the audience, when we played Newcastle, the audience sang the song for me, every word, while I stood there at the end of my thrust, weeping, openly weeping. It was
I've never been at the end of your thrust.
No, and a guy has. He can't remember because he was rat-arsed.
would be the forever farewell, right? The forever farewell.
I know contemporaries of mine that've been doing a farewell tour for 20 years. You know, no, that's not it. I'm 71 plus. You know, it's a number that I see and go, really? Because most of the time, I certainly don't feel like that kind of age that with the perspective we had growing up. Mm-hmm. When 20 looked old, 25 was ancient. 30? Oh, you're kidding. You know, it's just fascinating to look at. I have a feeling 72 is going to be a really super year for me, not 1972, my age, you know. But yeah, my passion is, I think, you know what? I think aging is obviously, if you start looking backwards instead of forwards, and I don't do that.
That's
you know?
Absolutely the thing. But also, David, I think there's a thing, especially yes. with all your your reissues and your remixes and everything like that. You are the undisputed king of the unboxing video. It seems to me that rather than
the singing salesman guy, the singing salesman. Sorry, darling.
David, it seems to me that you view your catalogue as a living, breathing thing.
Yeah.
You know,
it's really what I refer to as a legacy series, to be honest. With being, it's my 50th year being an actual paid professional musician since I joined Deep Purple. So a lot of the music that we made in those different decades, I'm a frustrated like DJ. So instead of making cassettes now, you do playlists and put them on shuffle. We used, obviously, throughout the time, the height of technology, etc., which has just been thrashed by recent technological achievements, you know. So being able, I've got an amazing team around me who genuinely care about getting the best out of this stuff. We're digging out, if you went into the Restless Heart thing, the rehearsals and the pre-production, all the stuff. It's. I mean, I was playing the demo CD more than the actual album, because it was just amazing.
Let's just stop there.
You know?
Because you and Guy, because Guy's on that. Is there...
Oh, my God, Guy is ever... Although,
I loved hearing the treatment of that, and I've got it, and I'm really, really proud of some of my work on that.
All of your work. Yeah. All of your work.
It
you know,
well,
you're obviously, Tom and I discussed that. That was his first project as an intern. But yeah, Reno was very good to you. You said you made me a fabulous deal to say, look, if you let me just do me bass part so I can go home, otherwise I'm going to kill myself. Reno has that effect on a man, I tell you.
The mountain was great. It was just a long drive down and up.
Yeah.
Because your house was fat. I mean, I adore being in your house.
Oh, my God. I've got to tell you.
Movie night I used to love. In our jammies, watching a movie in your screening room.
Yeah.
I mean, that was
fabulous.
Well,
I remember watching that, God bless him, Tony Scott, True Romance.
Yes.
And during it, and we were somewhat lit, as you can imagine, the... what were we, the Bloody Gloves? We were a different band name every week,
that's
I think.
Right. Every day. Yeah,
we pulled the session after the OJ verdict, I remember. It was just, everybody was so deflated. Yeah, yeah.
Who was the drummer? But, who are you playing? Who was drumming?
Denny Kamasi, man. Just, yeah. I was listening to you, but you were we weren't blessed with you on it. We wrote a bunch of new songs. Right on top of the Coverdale Page Out sessions in Miami. And it was a song called Saccharin. I'm going, this has got to be on there. And Kolodner, the A&R guy, were getting, oh, no, I don't think so. But I just heard it the other day, and Denny's just hot knife through butter. It's delicious. No, really fantastic.
Magnificent. Magnificent man.
But yeah, so now up in Incline Village on Lake Tahoe, the snow is like 40 feet deep. We're coming to the biggest record, number one snowfall. You must have seen the ridiculous. There's been 12 or 13 atmospheric rivers just wiping California, cleansing, healing, purifying, and flooding. But we've been getting snow.
Wow.
So the snow blowers can't blow the snow off the highway that we go down, Mount Rose Highway, to the studio and back. That is just crazy.
Wow.
They're like 40 feet high on either side. It's astonishing. The snow, we've just had another weekend of storms. The snow blowers can't get it out of there. It won't blow over the top of the snow there. Skiers are just in hot heaven.
Isn't Jeremy Renner near you? Doesn't that...
My God, we almost bought that house for the studio I'm sitting. We almost bought that very house, and it was a terrible driveway. And I said, if we have a long winter, we're never going to be able to work to get into the studio. So we bought a house and built a studio in Reno. But yeah, I know exactly where. Poor bastard! What a dreadful, dreadful scenario.
Yeah, he got run over by his own snowplow, didn't he? Is he back home?
He's there. I think he was helicoptered. He was in Reno. I have very good close friends in renowned hospital where he was, and they've been great with me and my family. And they looked after him fantastic, but I think he went home for rehabilitation, et cetera, et cetera. He had a lot of stuff, you know, bones and stuff. I can't even imagine how painful that was. It was horrifying.
Can you still get to the studio now you're snowed in.
Yeah, I'm 7 minutes. We bought another house in a gated community about 7 minutes away from the studio.
So have you just got houses at every stage up the hill now?
They're all in this country, but yeah, there's a lot of them.
Because when we last spoke, you were still trying to sell the house that I stayed in. Is that gone?
Oh yeah, we sold that, and I sent Cindy straight out to buy a beach house in Malibu, which had been a promise kept for 30 years. After 30 years. And a dream fulfilled for Cindy. It's amazing. We're right literally on a private beach and nothing between us and Japan. It's glorious.
Yeah. Look, you talked earlier about, you know, looking forward and not back. But, yeah. You know, paradoxically,
with these reissues,
a lot of what you've been doing, these reissues, and they are so well done. And guys have spoken about that. And you have a very clever thing called, is it Evolution Mix?
Evolutions, yeah.
Evolution Mix, where you start with a bit of the demo.
Yeah, a bit of cassette playing, you know, or whatever, and then suddenly the build into what became the final, you know. That's what I was saying earlier. I'm listening to more of them. I don't know whether you remember, we had those beautiful singers, Guy, or you might have gone home and gone into rehab.
I never met them.
But the...
Damn it, it was just blokes when I was there.
Old blokes, yeah. But the... we did a song called Your Precious Love, a kind of modern soul style in a 60s approach. And your playing on it is magnificent. Those kind of things, because initially it started off as a David Coverdale solo
That's
record.
That's right, yeah.
And EMI got, EMI said to me, no, we're going to hold you to your contract, which is David Coverdale, known as the artist Whitesnake. But those kind of songs really... I thought were great. And then we added another flying Dutchman, Joel Hoekstra, who is just a masterful musician, came in and doubled Adrian's guitars and just made it a bit more Whitesnake, you know? And it's getting a lot of airplay for me. I love the record. It's brought it up to date. That's the cool thing.
About Restless Heart? Restless Heart.
We've got another one, what I'm doing, I've got... Guy, have you come across Derek Sherinian on your travels, your sessions?
No.
Derek Sherinian is just like the son of John Lord. I know he won't mind me saying that. Derek Sherinian and his scorching organ. So, you know, I sent him down stuff, and he's a fan of the music, and he just gives me the most incredible fiery. Because after John, I didn't want to commit to a keyboard player.
There's been a lot of movement in that. Yeah, I've noticed that with you.
I've got a lovely guy now, an Italian guy called Michele Lupi. Looks like a young Luciano. He's fantastic, a super singer. I've got an amazing band. You know, Tanya. You did a bass clinic.
Yeah, I did a shameful night. Not with her. I mean, just generally. There were a lot of people.
Well, that's disappointing. I would have loved that story.
I want to know how... this is Tanya O'Callaghan we're talking about, who is the current Whitesnake bass player, I believe. And the first female snake.
Oh, my God. It never even occurred to me before, but I am so glad I actually had... the profound pleasure of Tanya. I saw we were headlining a festival in Baltimore in, I think, 2019. And as I arrived there, they had monitors, you know, showing the stage all back. And I went, fuck, who the hell is that? He's amazing. Serious dreads flying, all that. And he backs up and there's tits. I went, holy mother of God, it's a babe, you know? And I met her afterwards.
He thought it was Nick Beggs at first.
Oh, she was. No, I didn't know who it was. It's like blonde Bob Marley. Just amazing. Marley.
Who was she playing with?
It was Steven Adler, an old mate of mine from Guns, drummer with Guns N' Roses. She made such an incredible... It's straight into memory banks. Boom. If anything, I ever need that. And she's a lovely singer, too. She's an amazing ambassador for the Emerald Isle. The most lilting, beautiful. And man, when she gets on stage,
she's brilliant.
Extraordinary.
She's absolutely fantastic. And please send her my very, very best.
Oh, I will. But she's starting something I'd love to plug. She's working, I can't remember his name, bless him, the singer of Sepultura. He's another organic vegan kind of, they're working on a show that should be coming on YouTube soon called Highway to Health, which, you know, she would take me to vegan restaurants. I always say vegan.
I noticed that in your post. I noticed that on her feed. I noticed she's big on that, which is a great
thing.
Oh,
my God. The food, we went in Estonia, in Tallinn, this small restaurant. A vegan one? Oh my God, it was breathtaking.
No, we were in Tallinn last year and I just never been to the Baltic States before. Amazing. I'm knocked out by all of them.
I tell you, I was there after the Russians pulled out, you know, all of those markets start to open up, you know, Poland, etc., Estonia, Czechia, you know, all of these things, it was hard to get to during the Soviet occupation time. I went to Tallinn not long after. Oh my God! I was wishing them like every success. It just looked so challenging because basically all resources were taken out, nothing kind of put in, and literally now it's just one of the prettiest towns in. Yeah, it's just and the people. You know, it's just amazing what they've achieved. It's just a really beautiful place. And Poland, that I was so concerned about in 1990, is probably going to be joining G7, and quite rightly.
Yeah, it's got a higher standard of living than Britain.
They've just had an amazing, absolutely. Well, don't get me started, G.
No.
No, we're not going there.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode of Rock on Tours is sponsored by AG1, the daily nutrition supplement.
AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 vitamins, minerals, and other vital ingredients like gut-friendly bacteria, antioxidants, and much more.
Just one scoop of AG1 daily has all the nutrients you need to support your mental performance, energy levels, heart health, and immune system.
To be honest, it's pretty vital stuff for us because when you've got a life on the road and you're short of time or you're too busy to plan and prepare healthy meals, you're getting your podcast together, you're being shouted at and it's just a nightmare, AG1 gives me all the good stuff and helps keep my energy levels where I need, ready for showtime or doing the podcast, and with a nice vanilla taste.
It keeps me focused, feeling good, feeling healthy with its daily dose of vitamin C and zinc. And it's so easy to use. Just one scoop a day gives me over 70 carefully selected ingredients. Simple.
Trusted by Olympians, F1 drivers and the Rock on Tours. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription.
Go to drinkag1.com/rockontours. That's drinkag1.com/rockontours. Check it out.
Okay, I want to just talk about the new box set as well, because you've done.
Yeah.
You should talk about that, because I mean, obviously you've got these four different CDs. You've got the remix. You've got the remaster. You've got the evolution.
Yes.
And then you've got the one with the backing singers as well.
Well, yeah. Oh, God, the Hook City Harlots, yeah. And
tell us about the Hook City Harlots, because I don't know enough about those.
You know, one of the things that I've loved doing is exploring local talent. If you'll excuse the expression.
You're famous for it.
And the Benny Hill of rock. Oh, my God. Working with Tom Gordon, who you remember, guy, from the Restless Heart sessions.
Yeah, yeah.
He is like Mr. Reno. He's connected to everyone. You need a sax player? I've got him. So we have the Hook City Horns on something. Yeah, it's a song called If You Want Me, which is a kind of tribute to Stevie Wonder. But they're great. Three girls, Cammy and Jackie. Who's the other one?
Misty and Jackie.
Misty and Jackie, that's it, yeah. And we've got them coming in for do some more sessions. Just about to do a string quartet with four amazing players from the...
So what did you do? Did you go back to the mixes of the album and then
put them
on, or were they on?
Well, I owned all of those things. So we had all of the, until I did the catalog sale, but it's with the blessings of Warners, who I work with, Rhino and Roundhill, that these scenarios, which for me, just as I say, it's a legacy series that I can mess around. It's the same house as we discussed before. We just rearranged the furniture, put a different coat of paint on.
I'm so interested in those demos, though. I mean, did they tend to be on, like, you know, telephones?
Well, a lot of the album I wrote, FaceTime, iChatting with Doug Aldrich, a monster of a musician.
Ah, oh, Doug, yes. Well, that was his first album. Yeah. That was his first album with you.
With me? Yeah, that was with me. What an explosive, electrifying guitar player. Yeah, and a lovely, lovely man.
Yeah.
We've been recently reconnecting. I've been sending the guys who were all featured on the Still Good to Be Bad record. All of the videos we're doing and all related to them, you know. So it's definitely a tribute. Once a snake, always a snake, as far as I'm concerned. And thankfully have a great relationship with the majority of them. But they're loving what we're doing. It's also, as you experienced with Restless Heart, oh, my God, I remember that. Because there were songs on that I was going, why the hell didn't we put that part in? On that, Your Precious Love, that's what I was talking about.
Right.
And there's two movements that I'm going... Why did we take that out? Those are great, you know. But it's fantastic to revisit them because
and I guess the Beatles albums, you know, the remixes.
Oh, the anthology. Giles is doing amazing.
With all the demos.
Amazing.
On, not the demos, the early stuff. You know, I guess that has validated. That's allowed us to open the blueprint.
Well, you're listening
songs,
now.
So
you've got fabulous digital headphones. You've got all of this equipment now. So flaws, and the wonderful thing is, vinyls outselling CDs, mind-blowing, you know. But with the modern technology now, you know, old mixes don't really cut it. And the mastering, of course, is extraordinarily important. GK, let me tell you, doing those early demos, scratchy cassette things, you know, were never really meant to see the light of day.
You've already proven to the world that those songs you
but it's and people that's one
demos.
Of the favorite elements of what we do because they see how the song grew from this dorky couple of scratchy chords or you know into symphonic Whitesnake classics. It's
with you sort of making up lyrics.
The original version of Here I Go Again, when I was singing a guide vocal, so the band knew where it was, I'm going, listening to Tom Waits on the old gramophone, before I'd finish the lyrics. Those kind of things just take you back to, a little snapshot in time.
But also, because there's always a thing, because now, with computer-based recording, wherever you start the song, it's going to end up in the same thing. There's not that thing, you know, there always used to be that thing of, it hasn't quite got what the demo got, because the demo was a unique standalone recording.
I learned that from, I think, working with Richie Blackmore. Don't try to recreate demos,
right.
You know, because it's an entirely different environment when you're doing the bass yourself, you hear certain things. And then you work with fantastic musicians who want to put their identity on, as you did when you worked with me. It's Guy Pratt that's contributing to the overall sound, you know, counter melodies. It's just beautiful. And grooves. And there's a super one of you. We were doing the Pete Townsend thing in the studio in one of the videos, remember? And you were doing the windmills, kick ass. But that kind of stuff, you go, oh my God, yeah. And I can't remember all the names, but every week we were a different
name. That's right, yeah.
Can you...
I can't remember, Dave, I want to get back to this whole thing of the evolution.
Yeah.
When you're talking about the technology and everything, what's a valid point here is that there's been director's cuts for years. The directors have been allowed to go back and mess with. So, you know, it's actually so long for it to happen.
Well, I find in my life, I must confess. Oh, what you got? Oh, and look at this, Guido. This is actually the to-do list from the Restless Heart sessions. This classic thing.
When was my turn to go to the shops?
We're seeing a big poster with lots of things to do.
There's the chess beaters. There's the chess beaters. The absolutely 100% collectively open wet dreams of success with bloody heat-seeking penile implants and gloves.
Sometimes demos would work for a band. I mean, I'm thinking back to sort of Dire Straits, Sultanates of Swing, where they recorded it and in the end just used their Pathway little tiny studio demo. But the thing is, you were making, in the 80s, we were all making big sounding records. I can't imagine ever comparing a demo to what you could get in a lush studio.
Well, I got to tell you, whenever I ascribe to the Indian philosophy of East Indian philosophy of commune with your instrument before you take on the affairs of the day, even if it's a couple of chords, it's a grounding, sending nice vibrations, blah, blah, blah. But when I'm writing something, I can hear what I want to suggest to Tommy. I just hear it in my head. I hear the picture, before I even play to the band, and I always, without fail, work with the current musicians I'm working with them in mind of how we can get the best out of them on that particular song, particularly with the enormously successful 87 act, the eponymous Whitesnake record. Those arrangements were for Cozy Powell, God rest his soul. That was, it was all stuff that I know he would have just been extraordinary. Ainsley did a super job, but originally the songs were arranged for with Cozy in mind before we went our separate ways.
Do you play guitar?
I'm a domestic guitar god, Gary.
Do you write on guitar?
I write ballads. Is This Love? Is This Love was on, stomping piano. Rock stuff I usually do, riff stuff I usually do on guitar. Although I've been mixing it up a lot.
I think that's my question, David. Do you prefer to write with someone in the room?
Well, no, I do. I come up with certain things. For instance, with the last studio, Whitesnake Studio album, 2019, I think Flesh and Blood, it was fantastic to work with Reb Beach as a writer and to work with Joel Hoekstra because it was brand new. Joel had worked for 7 years with an American band called Night Ranger. I said, okay, I'm sitting in the same desk of Ukrainian oak, which will never break and never bend. I'm sitting here in my executive spot with my boss socks on, and Reb's here and Joel's here. And I said, okay, what you got? So Joel would start playing me a couple of chords, and I'll go, I think that's more Night Ranger than Whitesnake. Obviously, he'd been immersed in that for 7 years. And Reb was coming up with, I can hear that with Kip Winger singing, so let's start from the, and I'd give them a riff and then they'd put their feeling onto it.
Because I think what you spoke about when we interviewed those few years ago.
Gary, I know, I remember.
Yeah, you were in your 60s then.
For God's sakes.
What we spoke about is your love of soul music, and I think the difference between you as a rock hair rock singer. You are offering so much more soul than you normally hear. You wouldn't get that with the Scorpions, etc.
Oh, I don't know. I love the Scorps. They're old mates of mine. I don't know. I can't stand comparisons. It's so funny, Guy, that. With this being the 30th anniversary of Coverdale Page, and me saying a couple of years ago, I think, in fact, on the Raconteurs, We're hoping to do a 30th anniversary remix. Yeah. Jimmy does mixes like Jimmy Page style, and I do a Coverdale style. I think the fans would love that, you know, because we couldn't get together, you know. I'm in fucking Reno. He's in outside of London. But somebody came up, and it was an English journalist, and every track was going, oh, and this sounds like Sansa Sansa, and this sounds like comparisons with Zeppelin songs that I don't even know. You know, this was a total Led Snake, White Zeppelin. You know, it was Jimmy Page. And so, obviously, Jimmy Page is going to sound like Led Zeppelin, for God's sake. We've all grown up with that, you know. And I'm going to sound like David Coverdale, you know. The circumstance is, I don't see there's any comparisons at all other than lazy journalism,
you know. But, you know, but I think the point...
The soul aspect.
The point that Gary was making was, for instance, the stuff you talk about in terms... Like you just said, it was a tribute to Stevie Wonder. You know, it's what your references tend to be. Which is...
Oh my God! When I joined Deep Purple, my most
as opposed to Robert Plant.
When I joined Deep Purple, like at that time, I had no idea biggest band in the world or whatever. My most played albums that year was Music from My Mind. There's a riot going on and Donny Hathaway live, you know, I'm going. So all I did was write, you know, blues stuff. I met Little Feet years ago and they were going, oh man, we love your work. I'm going, I adore your work. You know, I just make it a bit louder on the guitars.
Did you never fancy doing an album and getting people like Willie Weeks on?
The first band I wanted to be in, to be honest, was the Grease Band. I worked with the fantastic Alan Spener, another God rest his soul.
Oh my God! One of my absolute heroes. His work with
Well, I said to him,
Roxy,
you know, if I've
worked with Roxy,
it's
Music.
The only time I ever applied for a gig and never heard anything back.
Ah.
And I was the only one, by the way, the audition for Deep Purple. It was the first time that they'd all got together to audition someone, you know. But I think it was because I brought the bells. A bell's a four you go. I had a little Scottish whiskey there to help the tonsils.
It's quite funny, David, because you said with all these influences and the people you've met and worked with, it's almost like if you didn't get that Deep Purple gig, you could have been like a Robert Palmer type character.
Well, it's so funny. I knew him as Alan. I knew him from Scarborough.
Right,
he was in a band called the Mandrakes, and that was like our favorite local band. I don't know where Robert came from, but prior to that, Tom and I just found some demos that an associate had played to Chris Blackwell. This is way years before Deep Purple. And he went, oh, I like this. I'm looking for a blue-eyed soul, white soul singer, you know? He said, ask him if he's got anything more up-tempo, which he never did. I found out by accident and felt so affronted. I told him to give me my tapes back, and Chris signed Robert. You know.
So you were on the money there, guy. You were on the money.
Yeah.
That's who he would have been.
I met Muddy Waters, Stevie at the Stormringer sessions. Oh my God, Sly and his brother. I said, Sly, I'm a huge fan. And he goes, I'm Freddie, you motherfucker. Because they had these enormous privet-like, you know, sculpted wigs. But Sly, mean Sly Stone, man, jeez. It's just breathtaking. Bowie came to our sessions. Mickey Fleetwood, who I just adore. It was amazing. 74, early 74.
Bowie came.
Oh, I knew Dave. Yeah, I first met David in the height of his astonishing plume, the Ziggy plume. And Glenn Hughes, I'd just flown in from London. We were staying at the Beverly Wilshire. I think now it's the Regent Beverly Wilshire. And he kept calling me, and I'd taken a bunch of Valium or whatever. He said, David wants to meet you. I was going, fuck off. You know, one of those. I can swear, by the way, kind of. This is a podcast.
Of course.
Just David Bleep Coverdale. So he kept calling, and I was going, Mike. So I go down to a relatively modest suite, I have to say, two security guys. And I said, don't even fucking think about it. So, you know, like I'm just as tall as Magic Johnson. I have heels like this on, you know. So I go in, Alice Cooper, it's a small suite, Alice Cooper, Ronnie Wood, and I'm hearing...
Always Ronnie Wood.
You know, the yeah. sniffy sounds in the bathroom. Ronnie, of course, bless him. So, and I could never understand that everybody's doing blow, but everyone's sneaking to the bathroom, you know. So the door opens and Vishnu walks out. You know, David with his astonishing plume, translucent skin, you know, the thin white Duke, yeah. God bless him. With a red chiffon jumpsuit, flared at the knee. And I'm just, he looked like a deity to me. And in those days, I'd wear those big Navajo silver jewelry. Oh, right. And he held his hand out, and he looked so frail. I didn't want to, you know, like a butterfly. I didn't want to. And he squeezed my hand like the really butch bloke, and all my rings crackled against each other, and he went, "Fucking hell, I thought I broke your hand."
those were the days when he only ate white food and
red peppers and milk.
David was adorable.
Is that right?
We had a terrible exit scenario. He came down to do a session. We were at the record plant, the original record plant on 3rd Street, I think it was at the time, in L.A., and David came in. I was a huge Gitane, Gauloise, disc blur smoker, came from my art school days, right? So and I couldn't get anything. I was drinking Long Marlboro, those tall, you know, just questionable stuff. David walks in with like two fucking cartons of Gitane cigarettes. And I went, "Oh my God, David, can I buy a couple of packs off you?" He went, "Oh, sorry, David, I've got a session tonight." There was like 400 cigarettes. So I went, fuck it. I was so petty. I found out there was a place called Kramer's Pipe and Smoke Shop on Little Santa Monica Boulevard. So I get my driver to take me over there. In those days, I had a long, ridiculously long, almost Macy's parade size Fleetwood limo, you know? They're tiny now compared to this. And I went in there, I bought every piece of Turkish tobacco, French tobacco. We filled this enormous trunk of the car, the back seats, with all of every carton of Gitane, Gauloise, and all this. And the next thing, I'm getting calls from David, "Do you think I could buy a packet, a carton?" I'm going, "No, you fucking can't." No, no.
I suppose you guys, you probably grew up on Truffaut or something, and you wanted to be like those, you know, John Paul Belmondo.
Oh, me? Oh, my God, no. Are you kidding me? I was Yorkshireman, you know. I weep openly watching Billy Elliot because I know all of the characters. I can smell the streets, you know. I don't know what the musical's like, but it's an immense catharsis for me to watch that show. But in those days, we never
met the cigarettes, I think.
I did mean the cigarette.
Yeah. Art student, darling. Yes, art student. Yeah. I studied to be a, that was the whole thing, you know.
Do you find yourself, you know, now ever yearning to go back and walk some of those streets of your childhood?
Well, it's funny because the director I'm working with now on all the video assets of Whitesnake, a beautiful guy, we took him with us on the first month of the farewell tour to document the tour for a project, obviously, farewell video, farewell CD, and a coffee table book like we did with the Purple album, you know, because it's so memorable. We only have to go through 70,000 pictures, which is, as you can imagine, I can't wait. But it was a very photogenic band, very gifted band. You know, Tanya, of course, is just Medusa, a goddess come to earth. It was so emotional for me. I'm not sure I could do that again, certainly in the UK. You know, it was just so more intense than I've ever felt before. Wow. I've always loved to play, but it was just, is this it? This is the last time, you know? Just enormous emotional bond between the crowd and me.
Do you have family still in the UK?
No, only child, and lost both parents, which, of course, as Oscar Wilde would say, is irresponsible, but no, it wasn't my choice.
Let's talk about your unboxing. We mentioned it earlier because these videos. I mean, I watched your Christmas one at Christmas as well when you were dressed as Santa Claus.
Oh.
Absolutely.
I have no shame, Gary. You know by now. How is white Excalibur? Was my snake? It's, my new book.
Is Excalibur in the room?
Oh, yeah.
There it is.
It's a nice little stabber. A nice little stabber there. I swear to God, I don't know where that stuff comes from. They just start rolling the cameras and I'll just blather, you know? But yeah, it's so joyful for me. We have a whole new team I'm working with, which has given me a beautiful adrenaline rush to work with such young and creative and driven people, you know, who I'm learning from and hopefully teaching a thing or two. It's a beautiful mutual exchange.
This is
I'm
what
really
I love about you.
Yeah.
I love about you because a lot of old rock stars, you know, they don't get.
A lot
they
of old rock stars.
Get.
Are you grouping me in with a fucking hell?
We're in our 60s.
Gary's point is absolutely right, which is so true. Which is that thing of we're in this new world and new ways of communicating,
yeah.
Getting.
Oh my God,
out.
Are we ever?
And you've embraced all of it.
100%. Well, it's, you know, I think my wife and I talk about this. As I say, she's on a meditative retreat in Barnsley. bless Barnsley. But we talk about regularly how extraordinarily seismic shit.
Mushy peas in her eyes.
Yes.
The little pork pie bra. Yeah. Mini pork pies. No, I love Barnsley. Are you kidding me? I had to lock my hotel one time there. There was an onslaught of lovelies. But hang on. So we talk about the seismic shift, shift that COVID has presented, you know, particularly in our craft, which is music. I talk to many musicians who can't afford to go on the road. Promoters can't afford to pay. You know, there's only these enormous productions where the tickets are just ridiculous in a time of economic crisis all over the place.
Absolutely.
You know, it's, you know, I've always tried to keep prices reasonable, but the bigger production you take out, the more guarantee you get from the promoter. They have to pass that on. If you're not going to get sponsors, they have to pass that on to the fans, which is always
been
challenging.
And how was the tour?
How was the tour
coming back after COVID?
Breathtaking. It was so interesting. We started in Dublin, of course, 60 guest tickets for Tania.
Oh,
I think she's on her way to being president of Ireland, and she has my eye. I'll finance it. And just worked our way down from, went from Dublin, Glasgow, and it was just so incredibly emotional. We had no guests backstage, which was very challenging because of the COVID bubble, as it were. I understand my dear brother James, Jimmy, was upset that I didn't call or invite him to the London show. It just wasn't even on our radar, you know.
We were told we had to, everyone who came backstage had to test. And yet it was ridiculous because we were traveling, we were going into shops, we were going to restaurants.
Yeah.
You know, going to museums, and yet, so in the end, I think we got quite relaxed about it. We were all okay.
Well, you were very lucky because I just hear a lot that it's just not as reported as much. It's too, like over here, it's all political, which is just ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, no, it was the same here. Yeah, how everything's made political.
But you must have felt so godlike getting back up, getting the snakes up, you know, playing with this doubleheader with the scorpions. I mean,
we took Foreigner and a super band, Friends Europe out of Sweden, great band. It was a super ticket for the fans, but it was just extra double emotional for me. You know, it's always an emotional thing for me to actually, what I would say, come home and perform at home. So it was, and then, you know, the intention was I was going to retire in 2020. That was actually the world tour sold out before I'd even made the announcement. Well, this is going to be my farewell tour. And as we all know, it was like, boom, gone. Just COVID just closed everything down. We actually were in Singapore when the Japanese promoter said, you know, we can't do the tour.
You put out a very emotional sort of little video on social media. I remember it.
Well, it's caring. That's one of the things. Yeah. Like normally, I don't live in Beverly Hills. Well, I have a Malibu beach house, but I don't do the LA thing like I did years ago. We live in a really quiet environment, really private and quiet. Because, you know, I can always find noise, etc. But I have this Mr. Saturday Night thing all a monk in residence, you know. But it's amazing having your own studio with video facilities and all, as you know, to be able to create things. And now I'm going to be making a transition and migrate to Instagram. I think
good.
I think Twittering's had its day for me. It's bizarre, some of the stuff. It's so, some of the stuff that I'm seeing, I'm going, wow, isn't there any kind of filter? It's just, you know, bizarre. Cindy and I were talking the other evening, you know, when she, Barnsley, that the, she said, don't go in my groove, that the, we have to look at least one day a week to be absolute internet free. And I said, I think that's a super idea. What about Wednesday? She said, I can't teach it at my studio. You know, so we're going to have to negotiate a particular day. But I'm totally down, you know. I feel a kind of responsibility, a delightful connection with people who've supported my work. And I love giving people a laugh. I love, you know, being able to say, he's a brand spanking new video from, you know, stuff they've never seen before. And the new mixes are fantastic. We have a super master in New York in Scott Hollett, Master Disc. It's just really almost giddy, bluebirds flying out of every orifice.
You know, I looked on Spotify earlier, and it says that you're playing a special live gig with Guns N' Roses and Def Leppard in April. I guess that's still up there, but that's been cancelled now, right?
Well, I think aren't Leppards out with Motley doing that?
That's what I thought. Maybe
no,
I don't
no,
really understand.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Spotify, don't get me started.
Yeah, but you will be returning to a stage.
I do hope so. It will really entirely depend on my health. As I say, I've got another 2 months before I can be x-rayed again. I'm trying to avoid surgery for a torn rotator cuff because I've heard the recovery is just awful. And of course, the older you get, those kind of things are rather shocking to the system. So I'm working with...
I have one of those and I was told it was never going to get better. And it did.
I'm working with an amazing guy who worked with me when I had both knee replacements. 2017, he got me up and running. A hard-ass PT guy. Absolutely hard-ass. I can usually seduce and manipulate my way through life, but not with this bastard. I swear. But I thought...
I had an operation on mine.
Yeah, he just makes me do... And it's so interesting, learning. I love... Every day to me is a school day. I love all learning this stuff instead of putting pressure on yourself, overdoing it. Like, it's almost as if you're punishing your body. You know, when you don't really have to. But I think my next x-rays, I think, will be very beneficial. But it sounded like a place in Spain. And I think in 6 months will be the actual, if I need to have surgery or not. And if that's the case, God knows what the recovery is going to be. You know, I can't do a half-ass show, guy. I've got to give all or nothing. Well, it's David, just I can't sing Still of the Night with, you know, like, in the still of the night.
I can't believe that you won't be back, I must say. And
well, I don't know. As Mr. Connery said, never say never.
Exactly.
As I say, there's people, I've never said that I'm retiring. That was a farewell tour that should have gone 2 years. You know, my guys had committed to me for 2 years. It was just ultra heartbreaking it's really challenging.
When is Still Good to Be Bad coming out?
Oh my God, April, I believe, the end of April. It really is an awful lot of fun. We, as you say, we've got an unboxing on there. And of course it was the Silver Snake, the DC reveal, you know, which actually went over pretty well. I was really, as you can imagine, nervous because that I had my hair cut one time and I couldn't wait for it to grow back. This I'm actually rather enjoying, you know.
Well, we're very jealous.
And I'm embracing the grey.
We're jealous of your mane. I'd take any colour. But David, I think we're gonna have to move on.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me as a guest. It's always lovely to see you. Always lovely to see you.
You know, you're on our intro every show. You're on our intro. Did you know that?
No. David? What's that? What am I doing?
Oh, we have clips. We have a little intro, and then we have music with some clips of guests. And you're famously quoted as, well, what is it, Guy?
It's that's a big tune for sure. I originally wrote that for Tina Turner.
And that is part of our intro. Check it out.
That's why I say, if you ask anyone about Rock on Tours, 9 times out of 10, they will say, that's a big tune for sure.
That's beautiful.
You have one of the greatest speaking voices in the English world.
Bless your heart. Bless your heart.
And singing.
Thank you.
Of course.
Yeah. But no question. It's when total
When are you playing? When are you playing with Nick again? Is there anything planned for you guys?
We're just doing like 10 days in. It's just the Czech Republic and Italy and Poland in summer, and then Australia in September.
Kick ass. Well, stay safe. Just stay safe.
We're playing Pompeii as well.
Oh, flashback. Flashback to the old Floyd. Yeah. All right. Love you guys. Big love to
you.
Everyone.
Thank you so much for coming back, David. So,
total pleasure. Mwah. God bless.
He's gone. Oh my God.
I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted.
Oh, imagine being his hairdresser. You know, I mean, having to listen. He's so great. You can listen to him. I didn't know whether we should even be bothering talking. You know, just say hello and just leave it.
It's true.
You know? I know. There's also we covered so much last time. It's like, what is there to talk about?
There's always everything to talk about with Dave.
He's wonderful. His spirit, his energy is so youthful.
It's brilliant.
He's just looking for new stuff all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. The way he embraces everything. He is the definitive Rock on Tour guest. There's no question of that.
He really is. You know, you talk about, you know, what David Arnold said about, you know, putting it in a museum. But even the way he says rock, you know, when you go to those things on definitions, you know, there's a sort of, you could click on the little speaker and it tells you how to say a word. It should be Coverdale saying rock.
But there was one word he said early on, and I remember thinking, I've got to bookmark that and say, because it was just the most fantastic pronunciation. And of course, I forgot.
Well, you know what you could do? You could listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
And you'll find it.
As hopefully you have done. What? That worst link ever.
Oh, I hope David lived up to his own billing. I think he did.
He certainly lived up to his own billing. And do you know what? He's coming back.
Well, of course, he's the icon of the show, isn't he? He's the mascot of the show. Well, I don't know. We're just his mascots, really. What are we?
We're nothing.
We're nothing.
He'll have his fun and with us and toss us aside like a rag doll. No, and it was like the way he spoke about Restless Heart and everything. That was really warmed the cockles of my heart.
Yeah, so. Lovely. Thank you to Ben from Gimme Sugar for producing this show.
And thank you to
you. I always say thank you.
You always say. I know. I'm just as grateful to Ben as he is. It's just that he always gets in first. But thank you all for listening, and keep it right here, people. And it's good night from me.
Good night from them.
Rock on Tours is produced by Gimme Sugar Productions for Warner Music Group UK.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.